Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Boy, that song just puts everything right there in perspective, doesn't it? That was wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Colossians chapter 3. And ties in with the name of the message is thankfulness. Thankfulness. Colossians chapter 3. We'll be reading from verse 1. Verse 17, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil conspicuousness, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on charity, which we know is love, which is the bond of perfectness. And here's where we're getting our text, verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. I was talking to Vicki about the message this morning and just about thankfulness in general. And I said, you know, we who are beloved of God, we who are the redeemed of God, we ought to be the most thankful, most joyous people in the world. Now, I know we battle with the flesh. I know that. I know we do. And sin, but really, when we stop and think about it, we are purchased by the blood of Christ. We are justified before God. We walk around amongst others who don't have that. We walk around amongst others who are perishing in their sins, who God just leaves alone. And we are redeemed, chosen by God, purchased by Christ in His precious blood. When we ponder that, it'll fill you full of thankfulness for what God has done for you. And we ought to be thankful. We ought to be. And I know, like I said, I know we struggle with sin. We do all the time, don't we? And we get down. We get depressed. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. David cried that out. Believers get depressed. They get down. I'm not talking about this so-called mountaintop Christianity that religion peddles. But we ought to be thankful, aren't we? For what He's done for us. When we ponder, when we're in those situations, and this is what's helped me when I get depressed or when I get down, because I do, I admit I do. When I get in those situations, to ponder what Christ has done for me, to ponder that He chose me in eternity, to ponder that He came to this earth and purchased me with His precious blood, boy, it makes me thankful. It makes me so thankful. So let's consider verse 15. It says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful." Now the foundation of being truly thankful, or the necessity of being thankful, must be in the understanding, and that understanding is given to us, that we have, that what we have in Christ is not a result of our own efforts. It's not a result of our own efforts. It's not a result of our talents or our goodness, because we know that there's none good but God. But rather, what we have in Christ is a gift from the Almighty. It's a gift. We who are redeemed have been granted and given the gift of faith, of repentance before God. And the Apostle Paul was well acquainted with this truth, because he said this, and think of this. Think of this in light of all the friends you've known all your life. Think of this in light of your family members and friends who do not know Christ. For who maketh thee to differ? And what do you have that you didn't receive? For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? We didn't earn it. We could never earn it. We could never merit it. The only thing we deserve is hell. But the believer who is redeemed by the precious blood of Christ will one day be in glory with Christ. Who maketh thee to differ? Who distinguished you from amongst all your family and your friends? Only God. And when we think about that, it fills our hearts with joy. Me? Yes. Oh, my goodness. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? So to be thankful is a natural result of being made aware of who it is that has made us to differ. Turn, if you would, to James chapter 1. Who has made us to differ? Well, it's God, and God alone. And when man is made to know the weakness of his flesh, when God reveals the sinfulness of his heart and his natural inability to seek after righteousness, that man is born again by the Holy Spirit of God, man or woman, and made willing, and flees to Christ. And we live a life of bowing down and thanking God for His goodness and His mercy and His grace to us. My goodness, I don't deserve this. If someone thinks they deserve it, they don't know Christ. We don't deserve this, do we? Look at what it says in James chapter 1, verse 17. And think of this in light of salvation in Christ. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Who made you to differ? God. And God alone. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Oh, the believer is thankful. We thank the Lord of heaven and earth for His great mercy towards us in Christ Jesus our Lord. The mercy that's been shown us in Christ. But as long as man entertains some notion of his own worthiness to receive the blessings of the Lord, he cannot and will not have a true spirit of thanksgiving. But he's only paying lip service to being thankful. Meanwhile, in his heart, he's convinced that he somehow is deserving of these blessings or has performed some deed that has earned them for himself. And he's built himself a refuge of lies. Now humility and thankfulness, they go hand in hand. Humility and thankfulness go hand in hand. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 1. And pride is the enemy of thanksgiving, or being thankful. Pride is the enemy of thanksgiving, or being thankful. Look at Romans. Romans chapter 1. Verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. They're full of pride. They're swelled with pride, but became vain in their own imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. God's people are humble people. We've been made humble by God. And we thank Him. We thank Him. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Now, the Pharisee in Luke 18, he thanked God, right? But it was the prayer of a hypocrite, wasn't it? Because he made reference to his own righteousness in the same breath. Look at Luke chapter 18. Look at this. Verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, a religious man, and the other a publican. Well, we know what the Jews thought of publicans. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank Thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Oh my, that self-righteous religious Pharisee. Look what he's done. Now he's going to tell the Lord what he does for him. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And here's that publican, beloved. Here's that publican, which is a picture of the redeemed of Christ. And the publican, standing afar, would not so much as lift his eyes. Why not? Because he knew what he was. He'd been humbled. He'd been bought low. There's the Pharisee telling God everything he does for him. And the publican won't even look up. Would not lift up so much his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So humility and thankfulness go hand in hand, beloved. Hand in hand. And so we who are the beloved of God, we who are redeemed of God, we should thank Him. But what should we thank Him for? Well, we should be thankful for all things He has given us in Christ. Ephesians 5:20 says this, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We should be thankful for things temporal, and we should be thankful for things eternal. We should be thankful for our preservation and all the mercies of life, for Christ and all the spiritual blessings that are in Him that are ours because of Him, because of what He's done. We should be thankful for electing, redeeming, sanctifying, adopting, pardoning, and justifying grace. And we should be thankful for being made fit, qualified for heaven, Colossians says. Being made fit for heaven. Clothed in the perfect righteousness of Christ. We should be thankful for eternal life itself, which is only in Christ. We should be thankful for the gospel and that God has revealed that to us. Revealed Christ to us through the preaching of His word. We should be thankful for the promises and the truths and the ordinances and the ministry and the message of salvation in Christ alone. Because there's millions of other folks out there who are totally oblivious to the message or just shaking their fist at God. And think of this, you who are beloved of God. Christ has revealed Himself to you through the preaching of the gospel. My. It'll fill your heart with joy. It'll fill your heart with joy. And we should be thankful also that He's blessed us with the fellowship of brethren. We'd be thankful for one another. Fellow soldiers. We're not alone. My. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 1. I'll read Colossians chapter 3, again verses 15 to 17. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him and in Him. Look at Ephesians 1:16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Paul delighted and rejoiced in his brethren in Christ. He was thankful for his brethren in Christ. My, what a blessing. What a blessing. God's people are, even to the believer, to each individual believer. Turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter 1. We should be thankful that He has caused our brethren to walk in faith and love, bringing untold blessings to us by their example. Romans 1 verse 8 says this, First I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Paul thanked God for the fellow saints, that their faith was spoken of through the whole world, that their example of resting and trusting in Christ was spoken of. Why? Look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. Being thankful for our brethren, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. God's people are thankful for one another and they love one another. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is into all the world, and bringeth forth fruit. Also bringeth forth fruit as it does also in you since the day ye heard it and knew the grace of God in truth. So we should be thankful for our brethren that God has given them hearing ears and seeing eyes, just like He did for us. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And we should be thankful that He gives us daily bread. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving. We're to receive what the Lord puts on our table. And think of this. When you sit down for a meal next time and you see that food in front of you, ponder that God providentially bought that to your table. He bought that for you. It's His provision to you. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. Whether you're eating at a restaurant or whether you're eating at home, He provided that for you to enjoy. To enjoy. Which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving. And be thankful for it. Of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Receive what God gives you with thanksgiving. Be thankful for it. Now, think upon who we should be thankful to. The one true God. He's a sovereign God. He has no rival, and He needs no aid. Saying, we give thanks, O Lord Almighty, which art, and was, and art to come, because Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power, and has reigned. Revelation 11:7. This is the one who we are to be thankful to, our great sovereign God. He's a holy God, and you know He delights in righteousness. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 97. And also Psalm 30. Psalm 30 and Psalm 97. He delights in righteousness. He's holy, beloved. He delights in righteousness. He's a holy God who delights in righteousness. And this is the one who we're to be thankful to. Look at Psalm 30, verse 4. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Ponder the Lord's holiness. Just ponder it. He who can have no sin in his presence, he who is perfectly holy, he who is perfectly righteous. And this is the one whom we're to be thankful to. And then look at Psalm 97, verse 12. And we're to rejoice. Look at this. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous. Think about the one who saved you. Think about the one who sent him. Rejoice. Oh, rejoice, beloved. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous. Those who are made righteous by Christ. And give thanks at the remembrance, again, of his holiness. Remember who he is. God. Holy and righteous. And you know that he delights in mercy. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 106, just a few psalms over. He delights in mercy. And here display his goodness to his people. Look at this, verse 1, Psalm 106. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy, what? Endureth forever. Forever. Oh, he's a God who delights in mercy. His mercy endureth forever, beloved. And this should fill us full of praise and thanksgiving. And he's the one who has given us his word and revealed Christ to us. For this cause, also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Well, we should praise God, we who are redeemed, because he's revealed Christ to us through the preaching of his word. It'll make you thankful when you think about it. There's many others who he's not revealed that to, who he's not revealed Christ to, who hear the word and it goes right by them. For who made you to differ? Oh, my. Oh, what a great God we have. What a great God we have. And he's filled our hearts with joy, beloved. 1 Thessalonians 3:9 says, for what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. And he has given to us the unspeakable gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 9:15, Scripture proclaims, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, Christ, and Christ alone. Oh, it makes God's people thankful. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 7. Think of this. He's given us deliverance from and victory over the power of sin. Now, we still have sin in our presence, don't we? Well, we still sin. But oh, we have victory in Christ over the power of sin. In one day, the presence will be gone. So he's given us deliverance from and victory over the power of sin. Look at Romans chapter 7, verses 23 to 25. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Well, look at verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. He has victory and deliverance from sin in and through Christ and Christ alone. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory over the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15:57. My, what a Savior. What a Redeemer. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And he has shown us the success and the triumph of his gospel by the conversion of sinners. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I am determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power of God, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. So he has shown us the success and triumph of his gospel in the conversion of sinners. This is the one who we are to praise. This is the one to whom we are to be thankful. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. And we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. My. Why should we thank him? Because he's commanded us to thank him. He's commanded us. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 50, verse 14. Look at Psalm 50, verse 14. And think, the heavenly creatures, the heavenly angels, they thank him, they praise him day and night, day and night. Look at Psalm 50. Offer unto God thanksgiving. Verse 14. And pay thy vows unto the Most High. Oh, we're to be thankful. We should thank him for the good things, the great things he had done for us. In glory, they praise him. And our Lord and Savior has set an example for us that we should follow in his steps. And he was continually thanking his heavenly Father. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 11. And then put your finger in Matthew 26. We are to be thankful. Thankful to our Heavenly Father. Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. And then turn to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. He was continually thankful. Verses 27 to 29. He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Look at verse 27. He took the cup and gave thanks. Oh my. When you see that food in front of you, and I'm not talking about what religious folks do when they go to a restaurant and they all hold hands and bow their head. I had someone tell me, you know, well, did you pray for that food? Little did they know, as I was eating the food, I'm thanking the Lord for it. You don't have to put no show on to people. We don't, do we? We're thankful. So when you're sitting and eating, just be thankful. Be thankful. I remember hearing this story of this old preacher. He was sitting with a young preacher. And the young preacher, the Lord, he was young in the faith, and he was sitting there, and him and his wife, and they sat down at the table with this old preacher. And the old preacher just started eating. And they were out of a restaurant, and you know, the young preacher, are we going to pray over that food? And the old preacher's eating, and he supposedly just looked up and said, are you thankful? And the young man said, yes, of course I am. And he says, does God know you're thankful? And he said, yeah. He goes, let's eat. See? You're thankful. Are you thankful for what God's given you? Hey, it's not a show. Be thankful. Brother John and Sister Ruth, your garden, it just flows with things that the Lord's given you. And you're thankful for it. You're thankful for it. We're thankful for the things that the Lord... We're thankful for our jobs. We're thankful. We're thankful for the things that God gives us. We don't have to put no show on. Just thank him. And no one else has to even know. They shouldn't know. They shouldn't. Oh, my. My. Thankful for the great things He's done for us. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to His disciples, and to the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. So it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. It's a good thing for us, because He's done so much for us. You know, in this lifetime, we could never thank Him enough. We who are redeemed, we could never thank Him enough for what He's done for us. We could spend a lifetime of being thankful and never being. But that's not what it's about for us. We just thank Him from a grateful heart for what He has done for us. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 92. Psalm 92. Psalm 92, verse 1 and 2. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It's a good thing to sing praises unto His name. Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto Thy name, O Most High, to show forth Thy loving kindness in the morning and Thy faithfulness every night. When should we thank Him? All the time. All the time. When we're alone in our prayer closet, or when we're driving down the road by ourselves, or when we're with family members and who also love Christ, we'll be thankful, aren't we? Be thankful. Our hearts should overflow and our lips, we praise Him for what He's done for us. And when we're gathered together with God's people in a place of public worship, we should give Him thanks. We should give Him thanks for what He's done. And to be thankful to Him, because He's the reason we're gathering together. Christ and Christ alone. He's the reason the preacher gets up and preaches. Who do they preach about? They don't preach about themselves. They preach about Him. About Christ. About Christ. And we rejoice, don't we? God's people rejoice. And then we give Him thanks for what He's done for us. My. What a Savior. Therefore I will give thanks unto Thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto Thy name. We should always be thankful. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And how should we thank Him? Well, we should be thanking Him with our lips and with our hearts. And giving thanks is not an activity, it's not just a thought process. Again, we thank Him by opening our mouths, by praising Him for what He's done. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praises to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Thank Him for what He's done for you. Thank Him. Let us close with Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 to 15. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 to 15. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That word meet there means qualified. Colossians 1 verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. God made us fit or qualified to be saints. All those who are saved by the grace of God through the righteousness and blood of Christ, we are unfit by our natural birth to be partakers of the inheritance of grace. The only thing we deserve is to be a partaker of God's holy judgment against our sin. But thank God that He in sovereign mercy is the one who has made us fit. The one who has made us fit for His presence. How? through Christ Jesus our Lord, through the righteousness of Christ. And thinking upon this will make the believer thankful, because we could never make ourselves fit. We could never qualify ourselves for heaven by anything we do. And then look at verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. God delivered his people. God delivers sinners from the power of sin. From the power of sin. We were in the darkness of sin and spiritual ignorance by birth. And because of our spiritual condition, we were unable to deliver ourselves from that horrible position. We lacked the power and we lacked the ability. But he who has all power and he who has the ability and is able to save to the uttermost, those who come to him, those who are made willing, according to his mighty power. God translated us. God translated us, we who are redeemed. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. God has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Every believer is being called out of darkness. Called out of darkness into his marvelous light through the preaching of the gospel and through the effectual working of the Holy Spirit of God. Born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And when we ponder this, it'll make the believer thankful. Thankful. Look at verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now God himself has redeemed us through his precious blood. When Christ died upon that cross, he died for his sheep. And it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And God has only designed one way of redemption from sin. Only one way. And it's through the effectual, eternal blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we not only have forgiveness of sin in Christ, but we have also righteousness established in him and freely imputed to us. And this salvation and this pardon is from all sin. All sin. And it's received. It's received by us, and it's given by God. And it's through faith and not works. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Romans 4:16. And thinking upon this, the forgiveness of all our sins. All of them. I mean every single one of them. Ones we don't even know we commit. It'll make a believer thankful. It'll make a believer thankful. And look at verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? God himself is our Redeemer. God himself. God himself. The Lord Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, Scripture declares. God himself is our Redeemer. God manifested in the flesh. And this gives power and glory to all his priestly work that he performed on the behalf of his covenant people. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Oh, this makes God's people thankful. And I'm not talking being on the mountaintop all the time. I'm not talking about that, because we get down. Like I said, we get depressed. But this will bring you joy. This will bring you joy. Now, the God of peace that bought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. Salvation is of the Lord. It's all his doing. And all according to his eternal purpose. In sovereign grace revealed and given in Christ Jesus our Lord makes God's people very, very thankful. Let us leave here pondering the scripture. For who made you to differ? God. God. May we leave here rejoicing. Rejoicing. With a thankful heart to our great God and King. Heavenly Father, we come before thy throne with thankful and grateful hearts, we who are the redeemed, we who are purchased by thy precious blood. Thankful for the great salvation which was wrought on our behalf by the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. We who lack power and ability to save ourselves have been redeemed and saved by he who has all power and all ability, because we know with God all things are possible. Oh Lord, may we who are redeemed, may we who are saved, think about this week and ponder these great truths. In Jesus' name, amen.